This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Way on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
It is World Wide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. Tonight in the studio, Dean is here.
G'day, Matt.
Sarah's on the panel.
Hello.
And my name is Matt. Now, this past Sunday, Joy held its annual general meeting to an audience that was actually standing room only. And as much as there are reports and motions at these sorts of things, it was also a time to reward and to celebrate. Awards were given out on the day for life membership to David Macca McCarthy from SatMag for his tireless efforts at Joy across many programs over many years.
And Josh Pearson was a very popular recipient of the Anne Hamilton Award for Volunteering Excellence. Josh is one of those people where anytime I see him around the studio, I relax because I'm like, oh, there's at least one person.
He does.
You know, you forget your password, Josh can fix it for you. The server goes up in a shower of sparks, he's in there with a fire extinguisher. All good.
And our very own show was awarded the Adam Stobbs Award for Broadcasting Excellence, which we are truly honoured to receive.
Tonight, we thought we would bring you some of our favourite interviews from nearly 5 years on air, covering more than 140 countries. So those of you that are regular listeners can
Sit back and relive the moments.
That's it. And those of you who are just listening to us for the first time will get a bit of a taste of what we're about. Here is a taste of what we've got coming up tonight.
It's been a long journey for me. You know, it was very much a choice between allowing a sensational story about my sexuality or actually owning my story. And I think I went for the option to own my story.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Kicking off first with some breaking news out of Taiwan, and we'll follow this story. 10 legislators from the ruling Democratic Progressive Party have just said that they will propose an amendment to the civil code that would legalise same-sex marriage. So this is potentially the first country in Asia to legalise same-sex marriage. It's just broken, and we'll monitor that and bring you stories in coming weeks.
Well, moving on to Romania, the President and the Prime Minister of Romania have clashed publicly over rights of same-sex couples. President Klaus Iohannis called for tolerance and acceptance of minorities in a speech last Wednesday. Iohannis said, "It's important to reiterate one thing, I believe. You have to go back to the tolerance and acceptance of each other. I believe in tolerance, trust and openness towards each other."
We like him.
Well, we do. Iohannis' comments are a first for Romania because for the first time ever, a major politician is coming out in support of diversity, although you'll notice that he didn't specify that he's referring to the LGBTI community and he did avoid using a direct reference to LGBTI people.
The Prime Minister, however, had a bit of a different view.
Yes, Dacian Ciolos voiced his support for, and I quote, traditional family a few days later.
After the children.
That's it. So the debate was sparked as the country approaches a decision on banning same-sex marriage. We have talked about this in a recent show. We covered Romania. More than 3 million people signed a petition to demand a referendum on defining marriage as between one man and one woman.
So they actually haven't got same-sex marriage, but they're doing a bit of a John Howard and actually inserting it into their laws to say an absolute definition.
Exactly. It's basically hobbling same-sex marriage as a concept. The petition was introduced by conservative Catholic groups acting under the banner Coalition for Family. Now, many Romanians condemned Iohannis' statement, which demonstrates just how homophobic and transphobic a lot of the conversations are still going on. And if the Coalition for Family succeed, they're not going to stop on same-sex marriage. They're likely to succeed in banning pornography, abortion and sexual education in schools.
Well, I guess if you have less sex ed, you'll have more family. Anyway, in Indonesia, President Joko Widodo popularly known as Jokowi, has broken his long silence, finally, on the country's escalating climate of hateful anti-LGBT rhetoric by defending the rights of the country's besieged LGBT community. Now, this is the first good news we've had out of Indonesia.
It has indeed. In fact, members of his own ministry have been speaking out against the LGBT population.
Yeah, well, he has called on police to protect endangered citizens, saying the police must act to protect them. There should be no discrimination against anyone. As we know, the violence has been rising in the last few months, and recently the police arrested a couple for kissing in a Facebook photo.
Outrageous. And then they've also been trying to shut down numerous gay apps and websites, calling it deviant propaganda.
And Jokowi said, rights of citizens are like going to school and getting an ID card are protected, but there is no room in Indonesia for the proliferation. Sorry, I can't speak today, of the LGBT movement.
That was actually his spokesperson. So you've got this weird situation where only a few weeks ago, the spokesperson says that, and then Jokowi says something else. When he's speaking to an international news service, it needs to be noted.
Indeed.
So, talking out of the side of his
mixed
mouth.
Mixed messages there. Across to the UK, though, where the British government has announced that it will posthumously pardon men who had been convicted of same-sex activity when it was previously illegal. This is what was called the Alan Turing laws. And he was, of course, the brilliant code breaker from World War II who broke the Enigma code of the Nazis and later went on to take his own life after being basically outed. Now, the Justice Minister, Sam Gyimah, has said in a statement that last Thursday that the government will pass an amendment to the Policing and Crime Bill, which will posthumously pardon around 40,000 gay and bisexual men convicted.
But he filibustered a measure to pardon the 15,000 men who are still living and who have such convictions, which was put forward by the Scottish National Party.
So the dead ones get a pardon and the living ones don't.
Yes, well.
Double-edged sword.
That's it. Now, in the USA, 8 Alabama counties are still flatly refusing to issue any marriage licenses, gay or straight. So same-sex weddings began in Alabama in January 2015 after the Supreme Court ruling. At the time, a number of counties in the USA attempted to resist the ruling by ceasing to offer marriage licenses to all couples, straight or gay. 2 years on, reporters have followed up with representatives of the 15 holdout counties, and 8 of them are still doing that. So their way around it is just not to give marriage licenses to anyone. Mm. So if you're in Alabama and you live in one of those counties, you have to travel quite a distance to find a county that will actually agree to give you a marriage license. It's that sneaky, tricky way.
And a bit of buck-passing going on. The chief clerk of Washington County said, "We do not issue marriage licenses because our judge chose not to. It's our judge's choice." Well, actually, I thought the highest court in the land made that choice.
Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. Now, Alabama's Chief Justice Roy Moore was recently removed from office after his own illegal crusade to block same-sex weddings, and he's been complaining about it ever since. So if you do want to look it up, he's very upset and claims that he's been the victim of some sort of, I don't know, weird gay conspiracy. Who knows with these people? Now, in brief, moving on to Norway, they've become the first country in the world to offer PrEP, that's pre-exposure prophylaxis, to prevent the spread of HIV, for free on its National Health Service.
And in Northern Ireland, the Belfast Court of Appeal has dismissed the argument that God considers it a sin to make cakes with pro-gay messages. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Mahida from Nigeria, and you are on Worldwide Wave.
A few messages first. Messages coming in on Facebook. So this is regarding our award win. We are just glowing tonight. Brian says congrats. Betty says well done. Savali, fantastic work. Dean especially singled out. Ooh, and she's offering to dress up to go to the awards night. Actually, it was just the AGM, so you miss out. And also Paul from Moorabbin says, congratulations, Worldwide Wave, for bringing us excellent radio. Thank you very much for that, Paul.
My favourite show from this year was when we interviewed Bizzy Alemi from Nigeria. Now, Bizzy Alimi has come out as gay and come out as HIV positive and is now happily married, I understand. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was engaged on the show, but he couldn't. We weren't allowed to break that news. Because it had to be broken to his family. And Bizzy Alimi was an actor in Nigeria, and he's now living as, a refugee in the UK. Nigeria is a country where being gay can land you in jail for up to 14 years, where political leaders openly vilify gays and lesbians without fear or repercussions, where the protestations of the international community seem to go unheard. Yet from among this darkness, we met Bizzy Alimi, a Nigerian activist now living in exile in the UK, and his story is something of a soap opera in the most literal way.
I guess there's many examples. The first things that come to mind when we talk about Nigeria and gay people, a lot of negative thoughts. There's lots of issues that gay people have, and indeed not very many gay people who are out in Nigeria. Yet you decided to come out on a television talk show, which is pretty public. So I guess what made you decide to come out and to do it so publicly?
Yeah, paint us a picture.
That was a crazy guy, isn't it? Oh my God. Looking back now, it's 11 years. Oh my God. It's been a long journey for me. And it was a long journey actually getting there. You know, it was very much a choice between allowing a sensational story about my sexuality or actually owning my story. And I think I went for the option to own my story. I was going to be outed anyway.
You're getting in ahead of the game.
Yes, exactly.
Because you're a famous actor.
Yes, yeah. I was on TV. I was practically known, and you know what it is like. Then journalists want to know one or two things, and they got information about my sexuality. And 2004, just when we were having Facebook, so it was really like a very big thing. It was about who was going to do it first. And I went through months of panic, of fear of, my God, this is going to be the end of my career. But then I realized that I don't really have a choice. You know, if I come out, my career will end. If they have an exclusive about my life, my career will end anyway. So I'm never going to win in this case. But there's one battle I can win, and that's about me telling my story, and that was what I did.
The TV show you're on, Roses and Thorns, a primetime soap opera, you were having an affair with the housemaid.
Well,
and then you came out as gay.
It's scandalo.
It is very, very,
We've done our research.
Yes, you have. Yeah, it was a very interesting soap opera, which was looking at the class system in Nigeria and how you're not allowed to, go outside of your class. So I have this very, my character had this very rich family, and I was expected to go abroad to study. And all of a sudden, caught pants down in the housemaid bedroom. And, the scandal started, and it was as if, it's going to be a scandal anyway, whichever way I go.
Scandal is the keyword.
Yeah.
In coming out, how did that affect your family? What did your family say?
Before, I need to put it out. So I come from a very mixed religious family, which is quite rare in Nigeria. My father is still a Muslim, and my mother is an evangelical Christian. And how they've stayed together for over 50 years, I don't know.
It's worked.
Yeah, well, it has worked. So, which is that, it's more about love rather than about religion. But my mother she knew. Mothers always know. And she knew about my sexuality. Once in a while, she will come up with this saying that is very typical to her. And she goes, whatever you're doing that God is not happy with, I will advise that you stop doing it. And it was a very difficult period for me because they were not going to listen to me. They were not very supportive for me to come out to them. They have to know the same time. Millions of Nigerians were knowing about my sexuality.
And I guess that's a point, though. So you, in telling your parents is one thing, telling all the friends of your parents or them seeing it on television. And I mean, that must have had a big impact on them as well.
It did. And my mother was really upset. And what she said was that you betrayed us. You could have at least given us the opportunity to know before you go out. And, you know, we would have been able to talk you out of it. And I remember telling my mom, you gave me no option, because there were no signals to show that if I ever come out to you, you will understand what I have to do. And I remember telling her that, and I wasn't coming out to you, I was coming out to myself, because I, at that point, I was trying to have, you know, relationship with girls. I was trying to deceive myself. So being on that show was me, for the first time in my life, actually saying, you know what, you're gay, it's okay, and you can deal with this. It wasn't about me coming out to millions of people. It was about me coming out to myself. Even sitting down in that studio was me telling myself that it's okay to be gay. And I think I just had the opportunity of using that platform.
Bissy, what's the population of Nigeria?
170 million people.
That's so huge. We're not talking about, like, in Australia, we've got a population of 23 million. It's not that big a deal. Like, you must have been a big name.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, you're gone all shy now.
I think after my coming out, it became bigger, because then it was about this crazy man who was on TV who had come out and threw the whole country into this, like, you know, revelation of what really is going on here.
They do exist.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, my God. And, you know, the show got cut off immediately.
Really? Because, they cancelled the show?
Yeah, they cancelled the show immediately because it just couldn't handle the fact that, oh, this is not supposed to be happening yet. So it was a huge shock to everybody in the country.
It also led to yourself being attacked.
Yes. Before that, I was always attacked, but it became a point of what I can't hide anymore, because I was on TV, everybody saw me, and now it's confirmed. So there was no hiding place, and it was a constant thing up until 2007 when I was almost killed in my home and I had to run out of the country.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
This is Otan Batar from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
And a couple more messages coming through on Facebook. One from Leni, who trained most of us, I think, in the world of radio. Yep, thanks, Leni, who says, well-deserved congratulations. Now, we have also been at the forefront of covering some of the biggest LGBT world news stories.
Oh, just a little thing that happened in, when was it? Something about Ireland and something about a referendum.
And look, I mean, not knowing what marriage equality is like here in our own country, we thought we would speak to one of the leaders about their hard-fought battle for same-sex marriage in Ireland. And this is Adam Long. And other than the ability to marry, we asked how the vote had changed Ireland forever.
Well, Ireland has changed a lot and was changing before the vote yesterday. It's certainly the level of influence that the Catholic Church would have in Ireland, that's greatly diminished. And I had been, I suppose, on the wane for many years. But I think the result yesterday, and the margin as well, I mean, over 60%, it was 62%, that was the final result. That really was an incredible affirmation, I suppose, of lesbian and gay people. And also the campaign that was run against us, the No campaign, was very much kind of socially conservative Catholic, Catholic right groups. Conservative religious groups, and I think the margin makes clear how Ireland has changed and how it's not influenced anymore by that kind of, I suppose, suffocating morality, which was the case throughout our history. I think there's a broad spectrum of people who support the reform, and I think in terms of winning the referendum here in Ireland yesterday, I think we needed that. We had that broad support. It wasn't just in the urban areas. Actually, we won every, except for one area, we actually won the entire country. And that required support everywhere and amongst all kinds of people.
That was Adam Long talking about the Irish same-sex marriage referendum and delivering us some much inspiration for our own battle here in Australia. And tonight we are looking at some of our favourite interviews from across the years.
And one of our other favourite interviews is something that's quite pertinent to us here on radio, I guess. We have faces for radio, perhaps.
I wouldn't say that about you.
Or I about you.
There's a reason why we're not on TV.
Yeah, that's it. You don't see many photos of me on our Facebook page.
So we can but dream of the bright lights and paparazzi lifestyle of the glamorous world of modelling. Or we can gain a unique, personal and really inspiring insight into this world by speaking to some real insiders. So we spoke to Noam, Apple and Top from Apple Models in Bangkok, which is the world's first transgender modelling agency.
Have you had any reports or reactions of transgender models being treated differently or being treated poorly by other models, like within the industry?
Yeah, there are sometimes they want to pay to the trans model less than the real female, and which is, we don't think this is right. I mean, usually they are the same, they are models, you know, male, female, you know, transgender are the same.
The way we see it, we're all the same. I mean, you have a choice. We live in a world nowadays that you basically have a choice to make, to choose who you want to be, and nobody can judge you. And this is the way we look at it. They've made a choice. They're quite brave about it. I can tell you that as children, from myself talking to them, they mentioned that they didn't have a very easy childhood, even here in Thailand. A lot of people treat them differently. They make fun of them. But they were brave enough. They stood up to all these people. They were brave enough to come out and say, hey, listen, this is who I am. This is who I want to be. I'm not judging you for who you are. Don't judge me for who I am. And just accept me. And I think they're great. They're just amazing. And as Top said, I think they can work very well. They should be paid exactly the same as any other model and be treated exactly the same as any other model. And this is why we started this division, because we want to give them a platform. All together as a group, I think they're much stronger than each one of them as single.
So why would a client expect or have in their mind that they would be paying less for a trans model?
Good question. Honestly, it's a good question. They, you know, in a way, they look down at them. They look down at them.
Like they are different, but in the different way of the lower.
Yeah, we're not there yet. Society is not open enough, not even in Thailand. Where in Thailand, they accept, I mean, gays, lesbians, it's very common here, everybody accepts them. But to be a transgender, they're still not 100% ready for it.
Do you think that raising the profile by having transgender models would be a good thing, would actually cause change?
I think so. Apple here, she was interviewed for Thai Channel 3, the Thai television, a couple of weeks ago. And TV channel, they want our help. They were thinking and actually going to the government
to do some law for this, the third gender, that what it, they want to call, because they know that many times the people that are transgender got treated by the social bad, like people looked out on them or sometimes raped them, you know, this kind of thing, or made aggressive things to them. And the TV channel was talking to me that they want to really making the law to protect this third gender.
Noam, you said there that you felt they were strong as a group. Is there still competition between transgender models?
Actually, the way I see it, they love being together. They're just great as a group. They're a lot of fun. They help each other. They support each other. That's why I said that as a group, they're much stronger. I can tell you for a fact that just the other day, they were here at the office. I left home. I was going down the escalators into the metro, and three of them were walking in front of me, and there was not one person in the metro that wasn't looking at them. Everybody was looking at them, and not because they look different, but because they're so beautiful. They look like women. They're very tall. They're dressed nice. They walk nice. There was not one guy that was not staring at them. I was right behind them, and I was smiling. It was just amazing to see.
And that was Noam Apple and Top from Apple Models in Bangkok.
I think they're doing great things, and it's one of those one of the inspiring things I find about this show is when people break down barriers. So it hadn't been done before. If you're going to start a transgender modeling agency anywhere, it's going to be in Thailand. They've got such a more accepting culture, but also a great selection of transgender models to draw from.
We get some fantastic stories on this show, and sometimes we discover some personal stories, like this year when we spoke to Andre Duplessis from ILGA, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association, who has the job of raising LGBT rights at the United Nations.
Joy. Andre, you mentioned before your daily headache and your daily joy. For you personally, how did you get into the LGBT advocacy space and what drives you?
Wow. good question. Well, I'm a lawyer, I'm sorry to say. You know, so many of us are. And I used to actually work in corporate law, and I used to do those crazy things called hedge funds, believe it or not. I had a lot of legal skills, but I just felt that this wasn't actually who I was.
It sounds
I wanted
boring.
To actually do something to help the world. It was, please, terrible. And I think I thought, well, why am I using these legal skills to try and make some rich people even richer when actually I care about what's happening in the world? And so for me, it was, I retrained and I moved into human rights, and I felt very strongly, well, you know, I'm a gay guy myself, and I've had a very privileged upbringing. You know, I'm not facing huge amounts of discrimination, but maybe I can use my skills to try and make this world just a bit of a better place.
That was Andre Duplessis from ILGA. And he was fascinating. He had a lot of very interesting things to say.
And just that, again, love that idea of, you know, why just spend my time making money for somebody else when I can do something that I'm really passionate about?
That's
and
it.
Hey, we need some passionate people in there at the United Nations. Did also want to, we mentioned at the top of the show some of the other people who were awarded some very important prizes last weekend at the Joy AGM. David Macca McCarthy, who you would absolutely know his voice if you ever turn your radio on a Saturday.
Saturday Magazine.
They've been doing some really, really great radio and getting in some lots of high-profile people, you know, sometimes controversial people. But hey, doesn't that keep people thinking and get people talking?
It's amazing the names they get on that show. Names, sweetie names. I listen to that many Saturday mornings while I'm pottering around the house doing the cleaning. And quite a few times while I've been scrubbing my toilet, I've been you know, sort of listening in and
it's
thinking.
It's been your inspiration.
I pause and listen to an entire interview that go, he has like, you know, the Lord Mayor on. Just big, big, big names and a fantastic show.
And of course, it's not just what he does on air. He's served on the board. He's been president. He's certainly brought in sponsors. He's run his own other shows for many years.
Did a great op-ed piece in the Fairfax Media about same-sex marriage about a month or so ago.
Indeed. And of course, that fantastic broadcast with Joy and Neil Mitchell and Jeff Kennett on youth suicide. So some really innovative things. So Life Membership Award to Macca. We really appreciate
everything
he
deserved.
Does for
Absolutely.
Joy 94.9.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hello, this is Eric from Greenland on Joy 94.9.
A couple of messages in on Facebook. Stuart, well deserved. That's for our award. Thank you. David says, thank you for all your amazing stories and the hard work to bring these stories to us. Thank you, David. Greatly appreciated. One interview that I guess is burned into our minds and our hearts was that with Terry DiCarlo. He's the head of the GLBT Center of Orlando, Florida. He spoke to us about 36 hours after the horrific shooting at the Pulse nightclub in June this year.
Well, you know, the LGBT community has definitely pulled together here in Orlando. It's been amazing what has happened in the past 24 hours to see such a force pull together and come together as one. You know, we know that our Orlando community has been hurt, has been damaged, but we have such a large LGBT community and such a strong LGBT community, to see them all come together. And, you know, LGBT and non-LGBT people are coming together, and it's just an amazing sight to see. And the love we feel coming in from around the world is only making us stronger and letting us know that the world is watching and is standing with us.
The centre there, you're providing support services for the community. What services are you providing?
We have crisis counselling happening. We have people, corporations donating water, food, you name it, to our first responders. We're getting water and food and everything possible out to the blood banks. There are lines around the block of people donating blood, and we want to make sure that everybody has something to eat and is hydrated with water. So as fast as it's coming into the center through the front door, it goes out the back door into a truck, and we're delivering it wherever it needs to be, even to all the reporters. There are reporters here from around the world, and we want to make sure that they're okay also standing out there in this heat. So, our counseling services, we have people that are taking phone calls, talking to people on the phone, and then if anybody stops into the center, there are a lot of counselors there that they can sit with also. We're just trying every angle to make sure that our community and the all over Orlando community is well taken care of right now in this time of tragedy.
Of course, you and your team there would also be feeling the pain of this event, but you're, I guess, busy providing support to others. Have you had time to grieve yourself, and how do you look after your carers?
I haven't yet. You know, it's been a whirlwind 24 hours. I've been running on adrenaline. I know I haven't taken time to grieve the people that I know that were in the club that have lost, that we've lost, or the stories that I'm hearing from the people who were in the club, like the 25-year-old girl who was Snapchatting as she was being held hostage, thinking that this was going to be her last way to say goodbye to her family and friends, was live Snapchatting from being a hostage situation. You know, you hear things like that, and I'm trying to hold it all together. I've lost it a little bit here and there, but I know once I do get the chance to decompress, I will fall into my husband's arms, and together we will grieve. But right now I'm holding it all together.
We have, we're sending our very best wishes to you. You have a GoFundMe campaign set up as well, I believe?
We do. We have our GoFundMe page we put up yesterday morning. And as of about, I would say, an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, we had a goal of $1 million. And as of about 2 hours ago, we were at 1.8 on our way to $2 million.
Wow.
Of which 100% of that money will go directly back to the families. We do not want the families of the deceased or the people in the hospital to worry about bills, hospital bills, you know, whatever they need. You know, do they need to fly a body of one of the deceased home somewhere? We want to make sure that they're not worried about bills or where this money is coming from. We are going to make sure they have the money and everything is well taken care of for them.
There have been vigils overnight here in Australia, and I believe there is also a vigil there tonight, your time?
Yeah, there is. I'm headed right now back to my house so I can change out of a shirt that I've been wearing for the past 12 hours and then clean up just a little bit so that I can make my way to the vigil tonight at 7 p.m. I have seen, I've gotten calls from Australia, I've gotten calls from Germany, Paris, and all over the world, and been able to see some of the pictures of things that are happening around the world, and it is just an amazing sight to see. And I want to thank everybody who's listening on your radio station, and know that we hear you, we see you, and we thank you for standing with us.
Rest assured, Terry, that we stand by Orlando. We might leave it there. We're both getting very emotional. Thank you very much, Terry DiCarlo, Executive Director from the LGBT Centre of Central Florida. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you so much, and God bless everybody.
Dear Ditch, hello, this is Rosie Fagan, speaking to you all the way from Belfast in Northern Ireland on World Wide Wave.
And we do love bringing you these stories from all around the world, and we're going to continue to do so. There's so many more countries to cover. I was having a look. We're over 140 countries, and there's about 190-odd countries in the world, so there's a few we still need to crack yet.
We're running out.
I did want to make mention of all the presenters. So we've been on air for 5 years. It's always been a team show. Tom Squirrel and Hikaru kicked it off. Christine, Shannon, Barbara, Lana, have all been a part of it. Current crew, we've got Paul, Dean, Damien, Sarah, myself, and in the background, Mark, our podcaster, does a great job every week as well. So big thank you to the team that keep this show going. And thank you to our listeners who not only, well, listen in and participate, but they send us lots of messages on Facebook.
That's right. We love them all, each and every one of you on W3Joy on Facebook.
And just to give you a flavour of some of the things we've got coming up, we're looking at ILGA's Global Attitudes Survey into LGBT people, and there's some real surprising results. And we're also speaking with some advocates in Kiribati, a tiny Pacific island, and learning what life is like for the LGBT community over there.
And as always, we really should be saying a big thank you to our lovely Gordon at the front desk, who takes all those phone calls.
He's a part of our team too.
He very much is, yeah. He's got the best voice of any of us, but we can't get the bastard on air. It's like, you know, he's hiding there by the front desk. It's crazy. But one day, we'll be able to do it. We managed to sneak him on air briefly at one point, but that was it.
And some happy music to take us out.
Yes, another gay anthem. You may have heard of her, Lady Gaga, Born This Way.
Who?
Minor hit from a few years ago. Well, probably never even heard it on Joy before.
Catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au. She pulled my hair, put my lipstick on,
in a glass of her boudoir. Joy 94.9, Australia's best radio station.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.